Let's talk to the Washington Post senior editor and the co-author of a book called Trump Revealed. Mark Fisher's on the line. Mark, it's John Williams, and you're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
It's great to be with you. Thanks.
Are you surprised that Michael Cohen has evidently cut a deal with the special prosecutor?
Well, no. He's made some, there have been some smoke signals about that over the last couple of months, and so it looked like he was trying to work out a deal when he made his statement some weeks ago about putting his family and country first. This from the man who had long said he would take a bullet for Donald Trump. So a bit of a shift in his thinking there. But it's really not quite clear yet just what this means. We do know that he is negotiating with the federal prosecutors in New York to make some kind of a guilty plea, but we don't know if that means he's actually flipping and cooperating with them or simply pleading guilty to avoid a trial.
And pleading guilty to what? Do we know specifically?
No, we don't know. We know that the violations that the prosecutors in New York were looking at were campaign finance violations. That comes from the $130,000 hush money payment that Cohen made to Stormy Daniels, the porn star, a few days before the 2016 election. And the question there is whether President Trump actually told Cohen to pay that hush money. And Cohen said last month something like, "I want to answer. One day I will answer." So what we don't know, even at this hour, is whether that day has now just arrived.
When this first broke, and for a while for that matter, I said, this is fascinating because it's salacious, but if at the end of the day it's only a small campaign contribution violation that seems a little tortured to me, this isn't really a big deal. Can you put it in some context for us?
Well, sure. So in addition to the campaign finance violation, they're also looking at some banking violations having to do with Cohen's work for the New York City taxi industry. But as you say, these seem like relatively small beans compared to the matters of state and of our national security that the Mueller investigation is looking at. So obviously the prosecutors in New York are using these lesser items that may look like small beans to us, but would weigh very heavily on a man like Michael Cohen, seeing as how he would be facing many years in prison and the loss of his career and his income. So they use that as leverage, a classic prosecutor's move, whether you like it or not, it's the way prosecutors work. And the idea is to say to such a person, if you don't want us to prosecute you on those matters, tell us what you know about Donald Trump's involvement with Russia. Tell us what you know about his involvement with the hush money to the porn stars and so on. And so it's a dirty game, but it's the way that game is played. And Michael Cohen has apparently decided that that they have him on something, or have enough to put him in enough trouble that he wants to avoid that. And we'll see whether that involves cutting a deal.
Mark Fisher's on the line, Washington Post senior editor, co-author of a book called Trump Revealed. Is this the same, in fact, team that is working, the Mueller investigation, the same people that are exploring every nuance of the election hack? Are these the people that were also prosecuting this case?
No, this is a completely separate staff. This is a staff in the New York City U.S. Attorney's Office, the federal prosecutors based
right.
in Manhattan.
So then how do they connect? So then how do those two connect?
Well, they connect on a personal level because a number of the people on Mueller's staff came out of that office, worked there for much of their careers. And so there are strong connections between the special counsel's operation and that New York prosecution office. But then in a more formal way, this is the way federal prosecutors cooperate around the country. So there's nothing untoward about it. If you have an investigation going in Chicago, for example, and there's someone who's of interest who has some important essential information about that case, you might talk to your colleagues in New York or L.A. or wherever that person is and say, what have you got on this guy, and can we work together to see if this person would cooperate with the government? There's kind of a horse trading that goes on, and obviously the more serious case in this event, the Mueller investigation, and to the role that Russia may have played in our campaign in 2016, obviously that would be more vital than whatever campaign finance violations Michael Cohen may be guilty of.
Right.
And so that office would yield to the office in Washington and say, okay, we'll try to deliver this guy to you.
I understand that. And I see how he might be connected then to a campaign finance violation and that he was paying hush money and maybe the president knew about it to Stormy Daniels. But I don't know how that indicts the president on some sort of, you know, collusion with the Russians over manipulating the election.
It doesn't. It doesn't. They're separate issues. It's a way of getting Michael Cohen to the table, a way of getting him to talk.
Understood.
And so,
understood. But then, is it possible that Cohen knows things about that other subject, the election itself, and he may deliver as a result of this?
Exactly. That's what obviously Mueller's prosecutors are. That's what they see as the value of Michael Cohen. Now, in his public interviews with news media, Cohen has been quite forthcoming on many things. But there are two matters on which he's been reluctant to speak. One was the one we already discussed, the Stormy Daniels payment, and whether Trump knew about that. And he said that he wants to answer that someday. The other one is the one you're talking about, and that is the 2016 Trump Tower meeting with the Russians who came to New York saying that they had dirt on Hillary Clinton. And they got that meeting that Donald Trump Jr. was at and that the president has always said he sometimes said he didn't know about it.
Yeah.
And other times he said, well, maybe he knew about it, but it was about something else. In any event, Michael Cohen said in a couple of interviews a few weeks back that that's something he would like to speak about, but his lawyers aren't letting him. And so he has not said whether Donald Trump knew about that meeting, but he's indicated that perhaps he has some information about that. And that indication is what has Mueller's prosecutors so interested in Michael Cohen.
If you're just joining us, it appears that Michael Cohen is pleading guilty. He's cooperating with federal investigators, and it sounds like he's going to plead guilty to charges, the penalty of which we don't exactly know. But we're talking about that right now with Mark Fisher from The Washington Post in the WGN Radio newsroom. This is Steve Bertrand.
Well, I don't know that you've covered this. Maybe you have, John, Mark. There's a 3 o'clock hearing in New York with a defendant named John Doe. And ABC says they have confirmed that John Doe is indeed Michael Cohen, and one of the prosecutors is already announcing that they'll have comments after that. So I was a little confused at first because Michael Cohen hasn't been charged. You know, we've heard so much about the raids and the evidence and the investigation, but never a charge. I guess this is similar to the George Papadopoulos situation, where he was never formally charged until he pleaded. I guess that's the way that the only difference is we didn't know about Papadopoulos like we knew about Cohen.
Right, and this allows the person who's agreed to plea to have some role in limiting the information that comes out in public. So by pleading guilty, he's able to say, yes, I did X, Y, and Z, and we don't need to talk about A, B, and C.
And A, B, and C, A, B, and C then might have been in a formal indictment. If he pleads before that scene, then he avoids that. Is that what you're saying?
That's quite possible. Now, of course, there will, if he does plead guilty, there will indeed have to be the plea agreement and the indictment behind it will become public, and we'll be able to see a good many of those details. But there may be aspects of his case that he has negotiated out of that deal. So, you know, he may be pleading guilty to certain crimes, but there may be other things that they would have gone after him on in a kind of kitchen sink indictment if he had not been cooperating.
I'm trying to prioritize my attention span, Mark. I'll let you go on just two final questions. I'm glad you appreciate that because there's so many things here. I'm just wondering, what is the worst-case scenario for Cohen, and what is the worst-case scenario as of these developments today for the president?
Well, that's a great question. So the worst-case scenario for Michael Cohen at this point is he pleads guilty, he cooperates with the government, and the government says, oh, that's kind of interesting, but it doesn't really get us where we need to go, so they ask for some jail time anyway, and you know, we'll see later this afternoon whether they're specifying in this deal how much time he faces. But so it's possible that things blow up and he gets a worse sentence than he may be anticipating. It's also possible that the president knows things about Michael Cohen and publicizes them as he's wont to do when people turn on him. And so so speaking of the president, he obviously is not going to be happy about this because Michael Cohen was his personal attorney and his attorney at the Trump Organization for more than a decade. Michael Cohen was the guy that Trump turned to make problems go away, as he's put it. And so Michael Cohen has made hush money payments not only to Stormy Daniels and other women, but he's been involved in other deals where the Trump Organization had to fix up problems. And so those problems existed all around the world with foreign leaders who were in development deals or foreign business people who were in development deals with the Trump Organization. You know, when the FBI raided Michael Cohen's home and office, they found 4 million documents. And so there's a lot in there that's totally irrelevant, but there's a lot in there that is about Donald Trump's most secret business deals and other deals. And so he's not going to be pleased about this.
Yeah. The president was outraged. He said, who's ever heard of a midnight raid where they didn't even warn the guy? They just came in and took his sort of stuff. It was unprecedented, he said. He was outraged by that. Is it possible that there would be some sort of bombshell revelation as a result of this agreement?
Well, it's possible. It's unlikely we would hear that today. That really is not part of the matters that were under consideration in New York. And so, if part of this guilty deal is that he'll that Michael Cohen will cooperate with the Mueller investigators in Washington, that would come out in a separate venue further down the road. But we would not hear about that today.
Well, maybe we haven't heard the end of this then, but at least this is a new chapter. Mark Fisher's book is Trump Revealed. He's a senior editor at the Washington Post. Fascinating. Appreciate your time. Mark, thanks for your help.
Thank you. Good to be with you.